So, well, the title here on my notes is, It's a Pleasure to Serve You. Okay? The subject is service. In the 1890s, there was a quaint newspaper, somewhat of perhaps an advertiser type thing that had nifty little epigrams and anecdotes. Well, I know what anecdotes are. Okay, but when I found this particular illustration or story, I had to go to the dictionary to get a definition of epigrams. Other than pastor, who knows what an epigram is? Yeah, it's exactly how I was. So I went to the dictionary, and it says it's a witty, pointed saying. Okay, a witty or pointed saying.
An epigram. I don't know that.
Now, oh, not you know that. Okay. I don't know why. Well, good vocabulary. You don't need, you know, you would take 2, 3, 4 words compared to just epigram. But everybody has to know what epigram is. Now we do. Get to the point, Pastor. It once recounted in this little paper that Julia Ward Howe, in her efforts to free slaves, had asked a United States senator if he would help to be able to liberate a particular individual slave because of the extreme circumstances that this slave was experiencing. And the senator replied to Julia Ward Howe, Madam, I'm so busy with plans to benefit the whole race that I have no time to help individuals. She was angered by this, and so she responded, I'm glad our Lord never displayed such a calloused attitude. You see, he did die for the world, but he cared about individuals. And he demonstrated that, of course, when he was here on the earth, as he worked with individuals, performed miracles, and benefited individuals. Now, we're all living in a time when the idea of serving is popular. It's talked about a lot. But just as Mrs. Howe experienced, so it is. It's easier to talk and teach about serving than it is to be a servant. We watch the news, actually too much, because it gets, sometimes it's so discouraging, I'll say to Pat, we have got to go to something else. And then we'll go to a program where you can select old things, and we'll find something that's enjoyable to listen to, because the news can get depressing. But when I do watch it, there's all kinds of talk about this idea of serving, okay? Benefiting mankind, helping other people. This is all talked about, but so much of it is just talk. Service is people related. I remember reading years ago in the earlier years of pastoring, there was an experienced pastor who was asked about the matter of being a minister. And he said, well, you know, this whole idea of pastoring wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for the people. Folks, there is no pastoring if there isn't people. Service is people related. Service is for people. Service is because of people. Without people, what serving would be needed in the Church of Jesus Christ? And we serve Christ by serving others. Think of it, if you will, please. What task, whether done frequently or occasionally, whether popular or just something that's got to be done, what task is there but what it's done for people? and because of people. You can't serve God without serving someone else. Everything that we would do is related. You say, well, I read my Bible. That isn't for others. Well, your husband or wife with whom you live might differ with that. Because it's going to change you and make you a better person. Better husband, better wife. And that is for them, you say. And so, boy, I think back to this lovely floor project, which things are almost done in the floor project. And so, but how good they look. But I remember after the 1 o'clock service when the fellas went to work to move the pews out, others took up the carpet, and all that was done. And that was done for the floors. Well, who are the floors for? Why did we have to do them? Because we people wanted to see them in better condition. We, the people, felt that it was honorable to take proper care of the house of God. So all that work was done. All that work was done for others. You serve Christ by serving others. Most Christians are interested in service. Most Christians believe that a church should serve people. And so that's rightly perceived, that this is a function of the local church. But who is served and who does the serving? Who is served? Well, I've already stated it, Christ and others. Psalm chapter 2, verse 11, if you would find that, please. Psalm 2 and verse 11. In Psalm 2, verse 11, we read, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Serve the Lord, not flippantly, not lightly, but with fear. Double meaning word. With reverence, with honor, for sure. But also with fear, in the sense that I better do this service rightly, because he will judge me. And so Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament, same subject, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Now this comes where we're told, children, obey your parents, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's an important line. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. And then in verse 6 he says, not with eye service as men pleasers. This is not done. You listen, when you do service in the church, it's not supposed to be done just so it can be seen by others. Okay? It's not as eye service with men pleasers. You're supposed to be doing this for Christ, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Are we convinced this is God's will for us? I should be playing the piano. I should be singing. I should be teaching. I should be holding an office. I should be working in the kitchen. I should be shoveling snow. Everything that's done. This is, God wants me to do this. Now listen, seldom are you going to have a revelation of a flash of impression that God wants you to shovel snow. The flash of impression is going to happen when you come here. Now, Dustin does most of our shoveling. He gets over here early and he shovels the snow. But occasionally, when I come, there's a spot or two that either got missed or more snow got kicked on it when Taryn in his big boots was running through the snow piles, okay? So when I come in, the fellas know this, young guys know this, I'll stop, I'll grab a snow shovel, and I'll look around for one, okay? And the one who makes a mistake of their eyes meeting my eyes, okay? No, that's not how I pick it. But anyway, I'll say, hey, listen, out there, there's some that needs to be done. Now, that's the flash of revelation. This is God's will. Okay, so I'm not trying to make this when I say you've got to do what you do when you serve ladies in the kitchen. They're in the kitchen. Why? Because there's a need for ladies to be in the kitchen. And some of the ladies have a propensity to that. Now, some don't. I know a lady, she doesn't have, she and a good friend of hers, they were talking one time, and the friend said, well, no, my sister, she got the domestic gene. So I understand some ladies' propensity to serve in the kitchen, and they make it look easy, but it's work. But you see, here again, a lot of times we do things because there's a need for it to be done. And unless God puts somebody else there, then he can put you there. So when I say, it's got to be God's will, I don't want you to get the idea that there's some kind of a heavenly angel who's going to come and communicate with you that you ought to be sweeping the floors. Okay? You know how to sweep. There's a need for something to be swept. Hey, this is the biggie when it comes to serving. You see a need. If you see the need, then you can meet the need. I said that one time to somebody, and they did not let me know when they saw a need. Because it was a couple years later, they said, I saw a lot of things that needed done, but I never told you because you tell me to do it. that is humorous. That is funny. But it's also pathetic if a person's looking to avoid to do something. Now, I'm looking right now, and what I see, I've got to go fix it, okay? Just hang on there. But you probably can't see it, but here, hanging underneath this chair, and I don't know why, but maybe it's, can you see that?
Wow.
You see that? Yeah, that's awful.
You'll be able to sleep tonight.
Now, hey, listen, I can sit back there. Oh, no. In the world. For those of you that cannot see on the live stream, did you flip it over there to catch?
I did not. No,
you
sir.
Did not?
So I apologize.
What kind of a technician are you?
Sure,
anyway, for those of you watching live stream, there was a clump of, what was it?
Hair.
Yeah, hanging off of that one chair. And every time I looked over, that's the only thing I could see. Now, you say, well, why in the world didn't you wait till after Sunday school to fix that? Because I'd forget it. And I saw a need, and I had to meet that need. And, we laugh about this, and that's no big thing. But it fits with important or big things. You see a need, meet it. And if you are like me, that your forgetter works real well, then what you need to do, he just saw a need. Oh, no, he went for a tissue. then do it when you see it. Make yourself a note so it gets done. Who is served? We serve each other. Ephesians chapter 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You say, well, now, did you do that as a men pleaser? No, I did that because it's something that needed to be done. Okay? And I take this business about the house of God being taken care of seriously. It's a real thing. Some people, it won't matter to them. Folks, those of you watching live streaming, our choir chairs are set there in order. And every once in a while, somebody likes to give me a hard time, and they'll come in and they'll turn some of them backwards. Now, they're only doing that for me, okay? And I appreciate that expression of whatever, okay? And then when I go and change it, I'll hear somebody snickering. But we do it as servants of God. With goodwill. With goodwill, verse 7 says, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to man. Now we realize men benefit from the service that we give, but we do it as to the Lord. Now, who does the serving? He is who? Usually just a few. But every Christian, every born-again person needs to be serving their God and their Savior. Now, some have the capacity to do two, maybe even three significant jobs. Their capacity is they can handle things that are done weekly or maybe during the week, the routine that's required of it, they're able to handle two or three. But some people are only one job people. And, they can do a few extra little things along the way as they're needed, but they would be maxed out if you gave them two or three tasks to do. And because they're willing to do one task, we must be careful that we evaluate that person correctly so that we don't burden them by putting, they're willing, they did a good job, give them another one. That's called a Peter principle, okay? In management, yeah, you've heard of that. Peter principle. Somebody does a good job, he does good. Oh, wow, great, promote him. Now he gets promoted and he's still in his realm, so he does another, he does real well again. So now the board sits down, they look things over and they decide, hey, what about him? And so they give him another appointment, promotion. And then they get together and they say, I don't know what happened. I think it went to his head. No, they promoted him beyond his ability. Just because somebody does something well doesn't mean they'll automatically do another thing well. And sometimes you don't realize that until you give them an additional task or another task. And then you begin to see that this task is a little beyond them. I know when I ask people to do things, what I've said already when they seemed hesitant is, look, do this, try according to what it is, for 3 months, 6 months, see how it goes for you. And if you learn it's not your cup of tea, you just let me know and I'll find someone else. But I ask them to do that task because, friends, it's for their benefit. They're serving, we're benefiting from it, but it's for them. You don't just put a warm body. I remember one time, and it happened here at Black Creek, but I remember one time where we did not have a man who was spiritually ready as well as practically capable or able to be a deacon. And so we, instead of having three, we had two. It's better to have just two that meet the Lord's requirements than it is just to put somebody in there so we say we have somebody. And oh, well, give them the job and they'll learn and they'll rise up. Yet people will learn by doing things. But you cannot make a man spiritual. God does that business of making a man spiritual and ready for that kind of service. This is an age of service, but from which side of the fence is service being looked at? In other words, are you doing the serving or are you being served? Okay, and there's two different sides there, and they're both important sides.
That's right.
Now, the term involvement is a key word. So many people want a church that's exciting as they sit there and yawn. Yeah, others expect a church that they attend to have a prayer meeting. Well, that's good. Yeah, our church, they have a midweek service. They go to a church, they would not go to a church that did not have a Sunday night or, like in our case, a 1 o'clock service, because to them it would indicate a lack of commitment, a lack of achieving. They want to go somewhere they want a church that has more than just one service a week. But they don't themselves attend the midweek service. Or they themselves don't go to the evening service. Now listen, when I write something like that, and I think about something, I don't sit there in my office and look through the pews and try and figure out, now who fits that, okay? Who doesn't come, who doesn't do, okay, I don't do that. I try to get the ideas of service and serving from God, and sometimes they fit, okay? I realized already as I've stood up here and either taught a Sunday school lesson like this or preached a message, I've realized already as I'm preaching, ooh, wow, that hit so-and-so. Now, I didn't say it to hit so-and-so.
That's right.
That, to me, is a misuse of the pulpit.
That's right.
If I know so-and-so has something wrong, then I need to go personally to so-and-so and talk with them about it. Okay? When you're preaching, it's like using a shotgun. Okay? You load that thing, and when you shoot it, what happens? Them pellets, they just scatter. That's what preaching's like. Okay? You're shooting, scattering. You don't use a rifle when you're preaching. Okay, just to hit this one person. No, use a shotgun. You preach, and some of them BBs hit, okay? Some of them BBs take the rabbit down. And if God's spirit takes something that a preacher says and he uses it, for you, it's like a rifle shot. And that's why preachers have had individuals come to him and say, "Why were you talking about me? Why were you preaching about me?" Man, I'll tell you, when that happens, that's conviction. That's conviction. Serving also involves a matter of work. It's ironic that as our society stresses service, helping people, our society also stresses pleasure, comfort, convenience, and ease, okay? I mean, the four-day work week, There are elements that are pushing hard for that, okay? And they're comparing our American work ethic, comparing it to Europe. Everything gets compared to Europe. We so far exceeded Europe in so many things, but we still, the leftists and the liberals, they keep going back to compare us to Europe. And so this whole matter of the work ethic, you know, you get more productivity out of people when they aren't overworked. And there's some element of truth to that sort of thing. But have you ever heard about the great American work ethic? It's what built America. It's what enabled during World War I and especially World War II for other countries to be able to fight. It's because the American work ethic was able to put out the materials necessary for that war. But not just for that war. When our soldiers came home, the great American work ethic built so many houses. Down in southern Pennsylvania, Bob, there, Levittown. Okay, Levittown was one of those places that was built, okay, after the war, and it met a housing need. And today, well, no, we don't want to work too much, you know. You work too much, you'll burn out. And you can burn out. I understand burnout. I've had times when I've had what you would describe as burnout. Well, then just step back, reevaluate, okay? Change what needs to be changed, but then get back in and work.
That's good.
Oh, man, people are afraid of work. I remember, what was that TV program? Not Dobie Gillis. Was it Dobie Gillis? He'd always say, "Work!" Whenever you'd talk to him, you know, he'd screech out, "Work!" I had a reaction to it. Yeah. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Woe! Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria." Misplaced trust, wrong priorities. But woe to them that are at ease. Jesus told the parable of a certain king which made a marriage feast for his son. It's in Matthew, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 22. I'm only going to read a few verses, but Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1 to 5. Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden, those who were invited to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all the things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Indifference to what God wanted. They made light of his ways. They went their own way. They did what they wanted to do. I don't have time for that. Let somebody else do it. Pastor, can't you find somebody else? Probably can. But you ought to do it. Service has responsibility with it. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, is what Exodus 23, 25 says. Ye shall serve the Lord your God. Serve the Lord with fear, the psalmist said in Psalm 2. But not only are we responsible to serve, but we are to serve responsibly. Let me run that by again. I don't know about you, but those, I like them tricky little sounding things, but I usually have to think. That's why I miss the next text that the preacher gives, because I'm still thinking about that tricky little thing and trying to get it clear in my mind. I bet there's at least one other person like that. I hope. I don't want to be the only one. But we are responsible to serve. But we are to serve responsibly. Not just any old way. Not flippantly. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So there's service. And we have some of this. I'm not saying we don't have any of this. We have some. But you know that when it comes to things that need to be done in the church, volunteers are all right. Why do we get this idea that nobody should speak up? wait till the pastor asks us or something. There's nothing wrong with volunteering. Seeing a need, okay, and meeting it. Now, if it's just a matter of picking some hair hanging off a chair, just go do it. But there are some other things that are needed. Let's say a person is musical and capable with music. Then they can volunteer for different things in a church that involve the music program. Now, let me encourage you this on it. Volunteer and say, Pastor, I've noticed such and such. I'm willing, if you'd like me to do that. Think it over and let me know. If you'd have some other plan, that's okay. You say, some people, when they volunteer, they want to take absolute ownership of something. And, sometimes a pastor might have somebody else in mind. Sometimes he might know you enough to know that you wouldn't be good in that spot. What? Why wouldn't a pastor want me to do something? Because you might not be capable in that. You might not have the skills to work with other people for that position you're volunteering for. You see, folks, there's a lot more than just seeing a need and putting a warm body in meeting it. All of these things need to be considered. You say, well, I don't know why we have to consider that. Well, number one, if you don't have the skill level necessary, then people aren't going to be able to rise to the level you want them. You're going to get discouraged, people are not going to respond when you ask for somebody to do something or work. And then now you see, you get upset with them people. Now what do we have? We've got contention and strife in the church. And it came about because the wrong person was put in somewhere. It isn't just a matter of anybody do anything. This is God's work. And God's work, we're going to, I'm trying to think how we can do this now. We don't have a special music for today. Okay? We've got to find somebody to sing. Bob, would you sing a special today? See, Bob's willing. I never heard Bob sing. We don't sit close enough that I could hear. Wherever we sat, Pat would say to me when we get home, she'd say, you know, Roger, I heard so-and-so. So-and-so. And he's singing a part sometimes. Okay? She'll pick up on these things. So then that helps me to know that if I'm putting together something with music, I could go to that individual and say, would you be willing to be, you know, we want to put together a men's quartet. And so would you be willing to thus and such? You see, now you know this, your job, where you work, you understand that. John Mark here, he's in construction. And I can do a little bit of that under close supervision. But who's a mechanic here? Who's a mechanic? Anybody? We got a mechanic? Oh my goodness. Church is going to fall apart with a mechanic.
Backyard.
You know, what's that?
Backyard.
Well, you know, I'll work on the church van. Okay? We need new brakes on. I'll take care of that. Brakes on? Just because I'm willing doesn't mean I ought to do it. You got it? There's a lot of things that are involved to pastoring and to being the leader in a church. In industry and in business, it's called management. Okay? And you got that kind of thing going on in a church as well. Hey, my time's up. I have to share this little story. A Christian who was born and raised in a log house. He had a deep longing to return to his humble boyhood home. He'd been away from it for 35 years, and he was glad when circumstances worked out that he could go back and visit that place that to him was cherished. And as he walked across the yard, observing the now deserted cabin, he remembered that as a youngster, he had planted some walnuts along a stream that ran through his father's farm. So he went down to that stream, and there they were, a row of beautiful, tall maple trees. Boy, he thought that was exciting, and it was. And then he remembered at the same time, he had taken a sack and put some walnuts in and hid it in the attic. And he wondered if they'd still be there. So he crawled up into the attic, went into the corner, rooted around, and he found them. And there they were, dust-covered walnuts. What a difference. Those he had stored were nothing but dry and dust-covered, while the ones he planted flourished into beautiful green trees. What are we doing with our gifts and abilities that God has given to us? Are we planting them in service, or are we storing them? Let's get busy. Let's keep busy. I realize in a church like ours, there are people at all different levels of service and involvement. Everything I've said doesn't apply to each individual. But we want to be in service for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for the love and grace you've given to us and the opportunity that you've given to us to serve. Help us to welcome those opportunities. And Father, we want Jesus to be glorified through it.
We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus